Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is still Jerry Peretz.
Right. 2 weeks in a row, you ain't tired of me by now.
Unbelievable. And Alyssa Catone is here with us from Sage, Long Island. And at the break, Jerry made a statement in reference to acceptance and the issues that are facing the LGBT senior population today, which hopefully as each generation goes on will disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But, and correct me if I'm saying it wrong, the reason... Go ahead, I missed it now.
We didn't talk about it when I was a young man for one reason. Now we don't talk about it in the year 2016 for another reason, which is a better reason. That's acceptability,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a stigma. Mm-hmm. It's not something to be hidden.
Right, but that's right. Acceptability, probably for 50 and under. If I mean you work it. So I mean a 30-year-old coming out. I don't think the guys at the table turn on them anymore.
Well, it depends. You know, I mean, there's homophobia and there is heterosexism still in existence.
Heterosexism?
Yes, heterosexism being like any other ism, one population of people feeling superior to another.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So the conversation might be avoided for those reasons.
Okay.
But, I mean, that is such a good point. We're seeing it being less of a big deal or a quote-unquote problem if someone is LGBT. Mm. But that's not necessarily true for the older adult community. And I want to say we use the term older adult because we consider an older adult 50 and older. So that's the population that we're working with. But for them, I mean, people who are – providing services to older adults, it's very common that they're in that 40-plus age range themselves.
Okay.
And so they might be carrying baggage from the way that they were raised and what was going on in culture during their childhood, adolescence, whatever it might be. So they might be bringing something else to the table, that being homophobia. You know, not everyone can leave their own stuff at the door at work. And so oftentimes, if I call a provider and I say, hi, my name is Alyssa Catone, here's what I do, here's what I can do for you, and here's why it's important, I still hear, we don't have anyone like that here. No one's gay here. Or that won't benefit us in any way. And that's just not true.
Right.
And then I have to start hitting them with the statistics, and some people are in such disbelief because the seniors and the older adults are just not out.
I understand what you're saying, and one of the things that I was looking at with the, I think it's from the website, is nearly 20% of LGBT seniors have no one to call in case of an emergency. That I find staggering. I mean, I understand, I'm understanding, I'm not accepting that you might not have a friend or something like this, but I'm talking about an emergency.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the social isolation rates amongst this population, I mean, across the board for older adults, social isolation is a problem.
Right.
You toss LGBT into the mix, and it's a different type of social isolation. If people are so fearful of being discriminated against, whether it's at their local senior center, their doctor's office, any sort of club or group that they belong to, if they're so fearful of discrimination, of course it's going to affect how they interact with people or who they're going to call in need of help.
Yeah, they simply feel they can't develop that relationship with someone who, for fear that it might jeopardize the so-called minor relationship they have.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say someone, you're a member of the community and you don't express it, and we have a casual relationship. You're concerned that if I knew that you were a lesbian, I might say, well, gee, I don't know if I want to have any more relationship with her. And it never really develops.
Yeah, and this isn't everyone in the community. I mean, there are plenty of community members who have solid relationships, great support networks, are out at work, are out at their local senior center. So I don't want to misrepresent the community as a whole. But when we're talking about majority, and what studies are showing, yes, a lot of people are closeted.
Yeah.
And forgive me if this is a stupid question.
There's no stupid question.
Okay. Do you have to be out?
You don't have to be out. Oh, my gosh, no.
So you have a senior who is at a table. Is it better for him or her to turn around and say, hey, guys, we've been having lunch for the last 5 years, by the way, I'm gay, or it is what it is because you're a nice guy and you're a nice guy and everybody's a nice guy and there's nobody making any specifically off-color remarks other than any cute off-color remark which is said about anybody at any point in time. It might, you know, or you're supposed
you don't have to be out. You know, but if when people are talking about intimate topics like family, loved ones, stuff they do on the weekends, who they're associating with. Maybe they're a part of an LGBT club or they volunteer for an LGBT organization and they want to share that. Then the question comes up, what are you? You know? So sometimes the conversation can be danced around. Some people might say, oh, I have a feeling that guy's gay or that woman's gay. You don't know. You're not going to know unless they honestly tell you. That's honestly tell you.
Okay. I just, you know, it makes sense. And they're not saying, can you get away with it?
But no, you don't have to be out. I mean, a lot of our members are out, but not all of them are.
Yeah, but that's your members going to SAGE programs on your campus, so to speak. Well, then it makes sense because that's a safe environment. I'm talking about the regular senior centers. And okay, if that being the case, let's go to senior centers.
Yes.
What's the steps that have to be made? I'm the president of the Great Neck Senior Center. And 1,000 people. Probably 1,200 go through the doors each week. Some of them 3 and 4 times. That's not the point. But we have an active program. So if you're taking 10% of a population, could be closeted, 7%, that means there's 70 to 100 people probably. Make it 50.
Yeah.
What do you do as a senior center for those 50 people? I don't know who they are, so I would be saying, let's put a program in. But what is the program I'm going to put in to say, Jerry, I think, or, you know, Alyssa, I think?
My biggest suggestion would be for any senior center, any nursing home, assisted living, retirement community, any senior environment, have me come in and do a training for staff. See how the conversation goes. See what people are taking away from it. See how they're able to apply the skills and knowledge that they're now that they're essentially going to be equipped with, because it starts with a conversation. And what we do at the end of each training, we call it our health and human service provider trainings.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second.
Yes.
Can I give out your phone number? This is what you'll do. So you'll go to any senior center on Long Island.
Yeah, I'll go anywhere.
Okay. And give me your information. Give the listening.
So I can be reached at 631-665-2300. And my extension is 216.
And repeat it again for those who haven't picked up a pencil.
Of course. So that is, again, 631-665-2300. And I can be reached at extension 216. And my email is acatone, that's A-C-O-T-T-O-N-E, at lgbtnetwork.org.
Okay.
Great.
So, yeah, start off with a training, and because when staff are equipped, it makes it easier for the environment to become safe.
Yeah.
Staff are able to step in if they see something going on. They now know, they will know the correct language to use, sensitive language, neutral language, because it's like if I'm a 50-year-old lesbian and I walk into a senior environment and I'm asked, oh, do you have a, you know, is your husband still around? What's your husband's name? I either have to lie or say, well, actually, I have a wife back home and her name is Linda. And then the conversation might become uncomfortable.
Right.
Actually, you know?
Just a quick one. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. I was driving, helping out at the elections and driving people home after they voted. And I picked up a woman at the station. I'm at the polling booth and was driving her home. And actually, again, this is my little guy was in the car. My grandson, who's maybe 2 at the time. And I said, I don't know what. And however I said it, I said, oh, your husband couldn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
But she came right back. I don't have a husband. I have a partner. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't make it. I said, okay, terrific. Mm-hmm. I said, and I actually apologized. I said, I'm sorry. But, you know, you get into a habit of your husband or your wife.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, and she was fine with it, but it's the truth. And if she wasn't, she could have, like, cringed and...
Yeah, but even that term partner.
Right.
I mean, this is so funny. I tell this story often. I was on the Crosstown Ferry maybe a year ago, and I was next to a newlywed couple, and they're, you know, talking about their wedding day, and they said, oh, are you in a relationship? And I said, yeah, my partner and I, we've been going for about a year and a half now. And the husband looks at me and says, you're a cop? We just asked if you're married. And I said, well, I met my partner, the person I'm in a relationship with. But yes, I'm in a relationship. They said, oh, so you're gay. Oh. And I said, no. First of all, my partner is a man. And second of all, now you're prying information from me that I don't feel comfortable just disclosing to a stranger. Mm. So then he totally shut off. The wife was embarrassed, and it was an uncomfortable conversation. Right. And then walking off the ferry, I'm like, oh, avoid these folks. Oh, my gosh. I'm embarrassed. But it's that language, you know?
Right, right. Okay.
People assume everyone's heterosexual.
Right, I agree. Right.
Not everyone, but it's common. Yeah.
In the conventional fashion.
Yeah.
No, and especially at that age,
mm-hmm.
at the senior age. I think, you know, the 25-year-olds that are hanging out in the club, I don't think people are going in with any pre-assumed assumptions of anybody.
Right.
But, yeah, the 70-year-old at the bingo table, there's nobody, you know, having a conversation. Every one man will go up to a woman and vice versa in the assumptions.
Yeah, we provide a mingle at the Hampton Bay Senior Center. Twice a month we rent space, and a mingle is just 2 hours of cake and coffee and laid-back conversation. And so it's in a mainstream senior center, and a lot of men attend this program. And the women, when they see the men come in for our program, start chit-chatting and, you know, flocking over. And then they find out that it's an LGBT group, and they're like, oh, okay.
Now, are these men members of that senior center, or they only come in for this program?
They might be members of the senior center in general, but they come
specifically
for the program.
We have to go to break. Actually, we've been talking here with Alyssa Catone of Sage, Long Island. Alyssa's... phone number is 516-665-2300 extension.
631.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Call 311 also, because we'll have all her information, which is the most important thing. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.